and welcome. You are listening to At Home with Ifenu. Here, we'll talk about helping women know and understand their worth, find fulfillment in who they are, and in what they do. Every other week, we'll talk about your identity as a woman, discovering your unique purpose, intentionally raising the next generation, and your influence in homemaking. I am your host, Ifeoma Nneka Omoni.
Hello, and welcome to another interesting and exciting time on At Home with Ifeno. Wow, our year is going, moving fast, and I'm so excited because we are becoming, you know, I said for you to have that new year, it is becoming the new you. And today I'm not alone on the show. Yes. Anytime I have guests, it makes it very, very interesting. And we get a lot of wisdom because we have more than one person speaking. And today I have with me, it's an honor to have with me someone very, very passionate about marriage, about the family sphere. She has so many hats. I think she will be the best person to introduce herself when I welcome her. But before I welcome her for today's episode, I just want you to take that sweet spot, that place where you won't be distracted. If you are driving, please just listen attentively. If you're at home taking care of those children, or maybe you're on your way shopping, wherever you are, I want to welcome you and I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are in our world, you are welcome. And so I want us to give a warm At Home with Ifeno welcome to Coach Taye Aluko. You are welcome, ma.
Thank you so much for having me, Ifeoma.
Thank you so much.
You know, for a long time, I thought your name was actually Ifeno.
Yes, Ifeno is just a short form of all my names, as in my first name, middle name, and then my surname. So Ifeno is Ifeoma Nneka, N Nneka, and then Omoni O. Interestingly, Ifeno was gotten even before I got married, because my maiden surname also started with O. So I saw it that there's no coincidence with Ifeno, and I had to hold it very dear. So wow. I've kept Ifeno since my university days. Yes. So that's where Ifeno came from. So you're so welcome, ma. We are glad to have you. And there could be no better time than inviting you at this time on our platform. Why I am so excited is because Coach Taye is very passionate about family. But beyond marriage and family, she's also passionate about who you become. Before we get into today's topic, I would like her to introduce herself. So, ma, when people hear Coach Taye Aluko, what do you want them to remember about you? Who is Coach Taye Aluko?
Ifeno, thank you so much. Ifeoma, thank you so much for having me on your show. I don't take it lightly at all. Anytime anybody invites me to speak on their platform, it's actually a vote of confidence. So I want to say thank you and well done for the work that you are doing. Done for the work that you're doing. And Happy New Year, because we haven't spoken, even though we didn't speak last year either, but Happy New Year. So in terms of who is Coach Taye Aluko, you know, it's a really deep question. And when I think about myself, I like to think about myself first and foremost as the beloved daughter of the Most High God. So I am the beloved daughter of the Most High God. And this is not cliche, because it's very foundational for me, because it's kind of like my foundation and the basis on which every other thing flows. It shapes how I see myself. It shapes how I relate with people. And it also shapes how I allow people to relate with me. So I am firstly the beloved daughter of the Most High God. I recognize that. and I don't let anything take that knowledge away from me. And I am also a woman who, with a mission and a purpose and an assignment, also flowing from my connection and my relationship with God. And all of that has kind of defined this season of the life that I am living at the moment, because I haven't always had this understanding. I would say that I am a wife, I am a mom, I am a wife to my husband Jide of 24 years now. I'm a mom to 3 beautiful children. My first are 22, they are twins. I'm also a twin, so I'm a twin mom and a twin myself. And then my last is 18, going on 19. But, you know, talking about purpose and assignment, you know, that definition of who I am, the beloved daughter of God, it's not just a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. So for me, in terms of my purpose, I am that person who is expressing and fulfilling God's mandate for my life in the area of marriage counseling and coaching. I am a certified counselor and coach. In the area of life coaching, because I'm also a certified executive coach and life coach. So those are the expressions and the vessels with which I am now using to do my bit to serve humanity and also fulfill God's purpose in my life. Wow. I studied law in the university. I worked in banking for very many years. But I got to a place in my life where I became dissatisfied and I knew that there was more to life. And that's what led me on a journey of personal growth and discovery. And that's how I ended up becoming a professional counselor, leaving banking to pursue this, which is really what I believe is God's calling for me.
Wow. I hear a lot of becoming in her introduction. Thank you so much for that introduction of who Coach Taye is. And one part of it, when she started, I said, oh, so we have something similar with that part that you said, you are the daughter of the Most High. I like that part, because that is your source, and that's where everything that we are seeing is streaming out from. Thank you so much. So for our topic of focus for today, it is becoming the right woman. Becoming the right woman. And I know that many people might hear this topic and automatically just think, oh, they are going to be talking about marriage. At least she says she's a marriage counselor, you know, and things like that. But in my thinking about this topic, I came to that point where even before you go into the marriage part of, you know, becoming that right woman or that right spouse or partner, I believe that our becoming starts before we get to that point. So what would you define as the right woman, particularly from God's perspective? Because we've also shown us that you cannot do anything, or you are not doing anything without Him. Who will you define as the right woman from your own journey so far and from God's perspective?
You know, I love the fact that you take this conversation, or you don't start it from the marriage arena. And that's because, you know, there's a way that society can put a lid on us, particularly us women. And honestly, we are much more. And there's much more to life than marriage and the conversations around marriage. Marriage is important, don't get me wrong, but there's so much more. Because there are some people never be married and they will still become the right woman. So I really love that, you know. So I'm going back to the question, becoming the right woman, and how do you get there, or who is the right woman? You know, I say this with every sense of responsibility, because I don't want people interpreting it and thinking, oh, there's a right woman, there's a wrong woman. When I look at it from God's perspective, you know, what dropped in my spirit is the fact that we were all already created the right woman. We're born the right woman. Why? Because when God looked at His creation, He said, it is good. And don't forget also that He created us in His image and in His likeness. And we know that we have a Heavenly Father who is a perfect God. And so we were born the right woman. However, we fail to see it because life happens. As we drop on this earth, The earth is in a falling state. Mm. And the reality is that life begins to happen to us as we journey. And when we fail to see ourselves the way God sees us, what it does is it puts us in a trap. Now, I lived in that trap for many years until I got to a place of realization. But one of the things that I want to say is the fact that that realization that God created me in his image and his likeness is one of the things that started to liberate me. And it's one of the reasons why I know that I was created the right woman, regardless of the experiences that have happened in my life, the things that have kind of distorted, you know, my thinking and my imagination and my seeing myself as the right woman. But even with all of these things, I know that God created each and every one of us as the right woman. And it's important we are going to become that we get back to that place of seeing ourselves as women the way God sees us. Because if Oma, you know, it's in the seeing. Now, if you can't see, you cannot become. And so at the end of the day, what do you see? Now, I had to go get to a place where, you know, I used to see myself. I tell this story a lot. I had this image of small Taye. So I would, because of that, I felt that, you know, I'm too small to be in this circle. I'm too small to do this. I'm not qualified. However, didn't create me as small. So what was it that made me to start to see myself that way? And I think all of this is, you know, part of the conversation of becoming. It starts with what we see. We can never we can't outperform our self-image. And so get that back to that place where you see yourself the way God sees you. That's the starting point of the journey. It is the starting point, but there's still a lot more to be done. So I would say start from what do you see? Understanding who you are, understanding who God has created you to be, understanding your image. You are created in the image and likeness of God. I am created in the image and likeness of God. And then beginning to place the right value on yourself. The same value that God places on you, place on yourself. Those are some of the things that I needed to start to do when I started my journey, because I was this person who really didn't see much about me. Because I didn't see, I couldn't become it. So it starts with the seeing.
Wow, it starts with the seeing. As she was speaking, I was writing, you know, she started from the mind. I wrote, it begins with our mind, the way we are thinking. And then she came to the part where she said, you cannot become what you don't see. Our image, how do we see ourselves? And it's interesting because women in particular, I'm not saying the men don't, you know, have low self-esteem or don't have those doubts, but we find out that many of us women are just, we feel that, who are we to come out? Who are we to, like she said, you feel that you can't get to the top, or you feel that, no, this is for selected people, you know. But she's telling us that, what does God say and see about you? We need to upgrade our sight, the way we see ourselves. And that upgrade is in the way God sees us. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Ma. So in our culture, in life, you know, there's this notion that, you know, women don't support women or this mindset where many people feel that women, they don't support themselves. So before you know what, they start competing, comparing, you know, they don't help each other, which I refuse to fall into that mood. But how can you encourage us women, our listeners, and as many as would come in contact with this content, that we need each other to empower ourselves? Because when we see ourselves as God sees us, that's right woman, then we will not be afraid to help people, help our sisters, help people around us. Even if somebody you aspire to become like, or you wish you were there, there will be, how do we guard against falling into the trap of, you know, envy, jealousy, or comparison? I can't run away from it because that's reality, coach. So how can you help women have a paradigm shift, you know, in seeing themselves as, when someone is doing well, when Coach Taya is doing well, she's empowering us as the right women. Yes, let me stop them.
You know, this thing that about women not supporting women, I think people started to say, flowing from their own experiences. And somehow we have generalized and allowed it to become like, but it depends on the experience that you've had. Now, I personally have had more experiences of women supporting women than experiences of men not supporting women. And why? I think when I look, I think it's really because of the circles that I have put myself in. So you want to, first of all, look at the circles you are in. Honestly, you have no, as a woman, you have no business being in a circle or a community where it is about envy, backbiting, and bickering. If anything, you can take yourself out. It's not by force. Not by force, because there's what people will do for you, but there's what only you can do for yourself. And so it's very important that as women, we take responsibility. Because a lot of times we also like to play victim, but we need to take responsibility. What circles are you in? Who are you associating with? Who are the people you are allowing to speak into your life? Those are the areas where, as women, we must take responsibility. Now, in terms of giving back and, you know, also helping each other, there's so many ways to do it. Now, there's the mentoring angle, which is honestly a really beautiful way of, you know, creating a culture of support and empowering. And honestly, mentoring is, a lot of people don't know that you don't actually have to sit in a room with this woman for her to be able to mentor you. It's even just studying the way this woman lives her life. It's even just reading up her materials and her books, because she has poured her life and her essence into these materials and books. And then also, when you do get in a room with him, with her, you know, being able to be humbled enough to want to learn from that person. There are lots of women who are mentoring younger women. So mentoring is one of the ways, and then also making space. I belong to a women's group, Women in Biz, WinBiz. I know about WinBiz, and I see the way WinBiz works. This is an association of women making space for other women. I mean, and when I say making space, I mean literally creating opportunities. But here's the thing, you have to put yourself out there. You have to put yourself out there. So there's that. There's also the collaborations, you know, just stepping out of your comfort zone, reaching out to the next person, the way you reached out to me, you know, and the way I also reach out to people when it's time to invite people onto my podcast. So there's that angle of collaboration. As we are sharing, I'm picking up things from you. You're also picking up things. That's a support in its own. Because what if I had said, oh, no, I don't want to be on anybody's podcast. What if my own guest said to me, no, but for every guest that I've invited, I've gotten that. I've gotten that, you know, they've always encouraged me by accepting and honoring me by coming. That's another support, and that's another empowerment. And then celebrating each other. Celebrating each other. So when my sister is doing well, when my fellow female is doing well, I applaud and I celebrate. Why? Because we are not competing. The field is wide enough, and honestly, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. So we actually need more women to be out there doing great and amazing things. So celebrating each other is another way that we can, you know, create the culture of support. And for us as coaches, having a listening ear, because knowing that we are all coming from different places, we have different experiences, we have different personalities. So sometimes you might not really get what this person is on about, but you just want to be able to listen. You just want to be able to validate them as a human being. While you don't necessarily agree with their lifestyle, but the more they feel validated, the more they will be able to open up to you and trust you with their truth. And that's the way that you can then begin to influence them. You know, so there's so many other ways, you know, but looking at our time, I would just say that the first starting point is, as women, we also need to take responsibility, because there's what people will do for you, but there's what you will do for yourself. When I sat in my corner, I would always say, people are not friendly. People are not friendly. I remember when I was in my workers training in church, I used to sing that song, people are not friendly. Honestly, I will never forget that question, but I don't even remember the person. The person said to me, those who will have friends must show themselves friendly. I was like, wow. So what did I start to do? I realized that people are not friendly. If you stay in your corner, you're expecting them to come. You too, step out now. And try and say hello. Try and smile more. Try and be friendly. Put yourself out there. Will you get burned? Yes, you might. But here's the thing. If you don't put yourself out there, you will never know what you can become and experience. So take responsibility and take off the victim cap. It's very important for us women.
This journey of becoming the right woman. Thank you, Ma. You said we should not play the victim. You talked about wake up to our responsibility, because there is a level to which someone can help you. So like she mentioned, if I didn't reach out to her, you know, maybe if I concluded and say, Coach Tayo will not even look at my face, and I never tried to, you know, reach out to her, I'll never know that she would accept my invitation. So many times we women, we play that victim card and we feel that, oh, nobody is even looking at me, nobody is helping me. But we must be friendly if we want, you know, to be friends with other people. We must go out, we must take that bold step. And even if one experience was not what you expected, don't use that one experience, you know, to now say everybody is a particular way. She said something at the beginning too, that what circle do you belong to? So you must be very careful with your association. You know, there's this saying that says evil company corrupts good manners. So if you know that you have found the people that surround you to be backbiters and things like that, then you have that responsibility to walk away and, you know, create the kind of environment, the kind of people you want to surround yourself with. And she said a lot. Thank you so much, Ma, for that response. So
welcome.
We are now going into the you wanted to say something.
You know, this thing that you said about reaching out is so critically important, because I have, you know, some young man that is also in the coaching, marriage counseling space like me. And a couple of years ago, I noticed that he was always getting like celebrities to come and do Instagram live with him. And this is a very, you know, unassuming person. Yeah. So one day I asked him, how do you get all these celebrities to come and do Instagram live? He said he just sends them a DM. And strangely enough, quite a few of them agree. He doesn't know them from anywhere. Send them DM, and he found that they were willing. So that taught me a lot, that, you know, the Bible says, ask and you will receive. If you don't ask, you don't receive. So that angle of taking responsibility, I really learned from that young man.
Wow. Okay, so we are going to step up our game 2024. Women, we are taking the challenge to be responsible women, not complaining. Okay, so we are moving to the marriage part now, where Coach Tai is really professional about this area. So for a single young lady, you know, looking forward to getting married, you know, to the right man, they say Mr. Right. What must she focus on in becoming the right woman? Because many times it's like we're looking at the other person, but I believe that we have a part to play. So how does she make her steps towards becoming that right woman so that she can attract the right man?
You know, it's interesting that we, like you said, we women, we are so guilty of it. We're always pointing the finger in this person's fault. But I love this question because ultimately there's a yearning in the heart of most women. I would have said every woman, but honestly, majority, most women want to get married. And most women will get married. Now, if the mindset with which you enter marriage is flawed, it will color the experience of marriage that you have. And that is the tragedy, that a lot of people are having bad experiences in marriage because of the mindset with which they have entered into the marriage. For some, honestly, the mindset with which they have chosen was flawed, and so they made the wrong choice. So, you know, for me, when I look at this question, it's really a case of, first of all, seeing yourself the way God sees you. For the single person, why is this critically important? So that you will not make the wrong choice. You will know that you are a person of high value. It's not a pride thing. It's really humbling. But it's for you to understand the value that you carry. You carry the image of God in you. And so don't degrade that. The way you comport yourself as a single person, the way you comport yourself in a dating relationship, because there are a lot of single ladies that are very desperate. And desperation leads you to take wrong decisions. So that is so critically important. It goes back to that, how do you see yourself thing. Now, that also opens you up to then beginning to actually also tell yourself the truth. You know, seeing yourself is not just, is about seeing the value you carry, but it's also about seeing your strengths and your weaknesses. Like for me, when I started to work with a coach and I was, you know, on my personal journey, he took me through this exercise of seeing my strengths and not shying away from acknowledging that these are my strengths. Because sometimes we like to be humble and we feel that, you know, and we don't, this is a strength, you know, celebrate that this is a strength. But he also helped me to see my weak areas. And what did that do for me? It made me see that, these are the areas you need to work on. And so it's important for that when we get into that place where we begin to see, we see our strength and we see our weaknesses. We are not all that. If I don't work on these areas and I go into marriage with this baggage, I am going to go and be done doing damage to somebody's son, who has no part to play in the things that have made you the way you are. So becoming the right woman, if you are not married, honestly, you are in a position of privilege that you can do all of this work on yourself. And interestingly, the podcast episode that I just released, my own podcast, it's titled, you know, Discover Your Identity Before You Say I Do. So there's that journey of personal discovery. That starts from understanding who God has created. I don't know how people who don't know God do it, because God for me is central. And everything flows from there. And what I find is that when we find our way back to the center, there's an alignment that happens. When we find our way back to God, you know, there's a shift that takes place in our mind. And once that shift takes place in our mind, it begins to affect everything about us. It begins to affect everything about us. So I go back to that issue of seeing yourself the way God sees you. But after doing that step one, then seeing your strengths, acknowledging them, not becoming puffed up because of them, because your strengths are there for you to fulfill your purpose and assignment, but also seeing your weakness. And that's where the major work needs to take place. How do I become the right woman? What are my areas of weakness? What is my story? What is my journey? What have I been through? You know, am I carrying baggage that I need to work on? Do I have traumatic experiences from the past that have distorted the way I think? That have distorted or disrupted my mindset. And I tell you, personally, I find that working with coaches has really helped me. Working with counselors, but a lot of times, these things, you might not necessarily be able to work that journey by yourself. But when you have somebody that holds your hand through the process, you know, the Bible talks about two putting to flight 10,000. It's not necessarily the husband and wife arena, but is that, well, what you can't do by yourself, a handholder can help you through the process. And so you then begin to do that personal, that go on that personal journey of discovery. And by the time you've done all of that, you are a woman of high value. Any man that is coming, he sees it. He sees the aura. He sees your attitude. He sees your being. He himself begins to know, I cannot treat this one anyhow. Because you know this, they're always saying, what do you bring to the table? My very essence is the table. My very essence is the table. So yeah, those are some of the ways for the single person. Now for the married person, the journey is also pretty similar. The only thing is that you are married. But you know how, like, I find that in my own early days, I would always blame my husband. Oh, my husband, if only my husband is this, if my husband will do this. Without looking at that, as I was pointing at him, one point finger was pointing back at me. So things are not working in your marriage. Look at your own parts. I honestly, if I'm, I'll tell you that when I went on my journey of discovery, I saw me as me. And then I started asking, what is the experience of me that my husband is even having self? What is the experience of me that people are having? I began to, I stepped out of myself to imagine what life was like with me. It helped me to now begin to make adjustments. I'm not there yet because it's a daily walk with God. But that also began to help me to make adjustments on myself. And what I found was that the more I made adjustments on myself, my marriage became better for it. My relationship with my husband became better for it. So those are, you know, those are things that can be done. But honestly, find somebody that can help you through this process. It's the best investment you can make on yourself.
Wow, thank you so much, Ma. Thank you. And as you were speaking, I said that maybe this discovery thing is for this season, because the episode before this, I was talking, it was a personal episode, you know, and I want to do a series on this, discovering you, as in discovering ourselves, because the problem we have in our world today is hinged on this identity issue, who we are, how we see ourselves, and then before it now flows to our relationship. So if we don't even accept who we are, if we don't enjoy ourselves, as in just on our own, you know, many of us don't even know ourselves. We follow what people tell us, and we have not sat down, you know, and like you said, you can't discover you without God, because he's the one that made us. He's the one that made each and every one of us. So thank you for making it clearer to us, and that area of knowing our strengths, our weaknesses. And for the single ones, don't be desperate. You have value. Discover the value you carry and then work on your weaknesses. And you attract your kind over time. It's a journey, a continuous one, like Coach Tai has said. She's still discovering more about herself, and so would we as we take that responsibility to work on ourselves. Thank you so much, Ma.
I love that you will attract your kind statement. It's so true. So true. The law of attraction. It's so true.
So thank you, Coach Tai, for giving us that blueprint on becoming the right woman, seeing ourselves just like God sees us. It's really a very, very important phase of everybody's life. And until we do this discovery, we'll find out that we'll just be following a crowd and we won't be fulfilled, even if we think we are getting things done. So thank you so much, Ma. So for the next question, how do we combat self-doubt? I think you've talked about it, you know, but how do we combat self-doubt and that imposter syndrome as women, you know, so that despite our shortcomings, because you've mentioned that everybody has their weaknesses and their strengths. So how do we see ourselves as the right woman while we keep working on ourselves?
Thank you for that. You know, the question on imposter syndrome is it's a reality for, you know, when I was doing the research, it was some time back, because I actually gave a presentation on that, on this topic. And the research said that 75% of women battle imposter syndrome, and these are high achieving women. In other words, women who have achieved a lot. So imposter syndrome is a reality. And sometimes, you know, when I sit and think, you wonder, you know how the Bible talks about Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul was saying that, you know, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. And God refused to take it away. You know, I sometimes wonder, is imposter syndrome the thorn in the flesh? Does God realize that whether he takes it away or not, we can still do what we are created to do? So those thoughts play in my mind. But you, to your question, it's a real thing. And I know that I've battled with it. I know that I still continue to battle with it. So here's the thing. I ask myself, will I ever get to that place where I don't have this at all? And the answer that comes is, it doesn't matter. Your own is to go and do. Because it is in the doing that liberation comes. And you know, I want to share a story quickly. When I was working in the bank, then I was working in the branch, and the branch manager was away. So I was the next person I was deputizing. So I was filling his role. So that means I'm the acting branch manager. Now I had to present the credits in a credit committee, and I had never presented in a credit committee before. And it was me, you know, shy, not given to speaking publicly, you know, very untrained. Anyway, I got into that boardroom that day, all the big guys sitting, and they were to me. Don't forget that I said I had this mindset of small me, you know, sitting there. When it was time to present, honestly, Ifeoma, I made a complete mess. I was tongue-tied and I was stuttering. And I could see the people in the room, they were looking down. They were ashamed for me. Even me, I was ashamed for myself. It was really embarrassing. But I don't know what said to me in my inside that, Taye, you can't afford to leave this impression of yourself in the minds of these people. So another opportunity came. And where I got the courage from, I don't know, because I used to be very timid. I said, I want to go to this credit committee. But before going, I now took time and I prepared myself. So I got into that credit committee. I was prepared. And it was a completely different experience. The way, the commendation that I got after, with the way I spoke and all of that. So that was an eye-opening experience for me. What made the difference? It was the same tie. The only thing was preparation. Preparation. And this is how many years down the line. So what I find is that when I get into this place of fear or second-guessing myself, preparation. So I will go, but I'm still afraid, but because I know that I know. When I open my mouth, I know that what I'm saying, I know it. So imposter syndrome, when they say it affects even high achieving women, how do they still do what they are doing? It's because they have set themselves apart in the area of preparation. They've set themselves apart in the area of preparing themselves. They've taken the courses, they've done the training, and after all of that, they step out. Afraid. You step out afraid. It's because it's really what it is, a psychological thing. It makes you feel like you don't deserve your accomplishments. It makes you feel like, you know, you are not qualified enough, that other people are better than you. And the first way to even deal with it is to recognize the sign. Because sometimes you don't even recognize that what this is the imposter. You know, what you don't know, how do you start to cure? You know, so recognize the sign that these things that I'm feeling is the voice of the imposter speaking. And once you begin to recognize the signs, the next thing you want to do is to question, why do you have these thoughts? You know, I read something once that talked about worry being the wrong use of imagination. So I think to myself, why am I imagining that I can't? Why not imagine that I can? Instead of imagining that I can't. So you want to start to question your thoughts. Why do you feel you're not good enough? Why do you feel you do not deserve it? So the minute you begin to question, you can begin to counter the negative voice that is speaking. Because it's the voice that is speaking that is telling us. The voice, the self-doubt is a voice, the inner critic. Then talk about that, your community and your association. Share how you are feeling. A friend of mine came to me a couple of years back, and she wanted to start a new venture. And she told me that she mentioned it to a friend. And her friend was like, ah, you too, you want to join all those motivational speakers? You want to join all those people that are putting Instagram live videos? And I'm thinking, you know, how do you even say that to somebody that has come to share an idea with you? So be sharing your feelings. You want to also be mindful of who you are going to. Because the voices that are speaking into you are so important. As parents, what we say to our children is so important, because some parents have raised they are the ones that created the imposter in their child. Because of what they were saying to that child as they grew up. You know, so look for a trusted person, look for a cheerleader, share how you're feeling, and then you can sit down and talk through the feelings that you have. And sometimes it might even be a coach or a counselor that helps you now to analyze and all of that. Then another thing that I know can cause imposter syndrome is when we compare. So you are saying, these women are doing this, these women are doing that. Little me, what have I done that I now want to sit among these women? That's a comparison. And we need to stop comparing. It's not always the easiest, but it's something that we can train ourselves to do. You know, and then also that thing about knowing your strengths and your weaknesses. Because here's the thing, what I'm not qualified for, why do I want to put myself out there for it? So assess your ability. And so if they say, come and speak on this topic, and I say, what do I know about the topic? They say, come and speak about prison reform in Nigeria. It's not my area. I don't know anything about prison reform. I won't say because I'm a speaker, let me go and read up on it. It's not authentic to me. So it's not everything that I must do. I'm also wanting to play to my strengths. You know, and then I love this. It's about also your relationship with failure. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that ability to cultivate a healthy relationship with failure, because failure, there's so many lessons. Like the lesson that I learned from my first ever credit committee experience was that I need to go and be more prepared. So I didn't let that cripple me. So you want to ask, am I afraid of failing? What is my relationship with failure? How do I see failure? There's lesson in failure that I can use to be better for tomorrow. And then also, celebrate yourself. People will not celebrate you if you don't celebrate yourself. So learning to celebrate any small win, celebrate it. Any small win. You see people are accomplishing little things, but they make it a big deal. They know the reason why they are doing that, because they know where they are coming from. And you will be, and sometimes you'll be looking at that. What has this one done that is making noise? It might not be a big deal to you, it's a big deal to me. Because the more we celebrate our successes, there's this thing about, you know, I'm not a chemistry student, but I've read this book where you know, the chemical component of our body, the dopamine, the oxytocin, and all those things, they create something in us that give us the impetus to want to continue going on to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, so these are just a few ways to deal with the imposter. But it's also important to know that sometimes it's a thorn in the flesh that will not go away.
Mm.
It therefore means that part season of life, you must be able to speak to yourself, rise up and go and do what you need to do. Don't let that voice, you know, keep you from moving.
Mm.
Let that voice keep you from moving. Imposter syndrome is a real thing.
Wow, thank you so much, Ma. No more doubting about your abilities. I like that part. She said, what's your relationship with failure? Is failure a learning curve for me? Do I see things that I need to... I hear people say failure is just telling you that you didn't do it maybe the right way, so you need to try it another way. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have been written off. So let's not allow that self-doubt to drown us and make us feel that we don't have anything or we are not the right woman. You remember, we are talking about becoming the right woman. And she brought about that issue of who are your friends, who do you share with. We need to be, you know, we need to be intentional about the people we share, you know, our stories with or what we desire to do, so that we don't go to the people that will discourage us and even run us down and say, ah, so you want to even do that. Thank you so much, Ma. So now we want to give you the opportunity to speak to our listeners. How can they connect with you, your programs, your courses? I know that being a marriage counselor, we'll have a lot of different, you know, categories of people, those that are single, and even we that are married, we need counseling. We need to come and hear what we are not doing right so that we become the right woman. So the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Ifeanyi. I've really enjoyed having this conversation with you and even delving into this topic. Yes, I speak a lot about, you know, that going on that journey of personal discovery. And why? Because I know what it did for me.
Mm.
And so I make an appeal to every woman to invest in yourself.
Mm.
Go on that journey of discovering and unlocking. Go on that journey of discovering and unlocking. And this is the beginning of a new year. So you have, there's so much ample time for you to transform yourself. Mm. You know, I say all the time that nothing will be different about this year if we don't have a new you.
Mm.
If you don't have a new you, you will have the same year you had in 2023, 2022, 2021. But if you want different, you must become different.
Mm.
Yes, so I can be, the best place for people to reach me is on my Instagram. I am Taye_Alugo. I can send you so that you can also put it
in
the show notes.
Yes, I'll add it to the show notes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And I work with the single.
Mm.
I work with the married, the dating, the about to be married. Premarital counseling is so important. You know, if you know, I go to the registry, the Koi Marriage Registry, on Tuesday mornings. And what we do is to talk with couples who are about to get married. They're already, like, some of them are marrying the next day, that week. And when we have those sessions, we find out that there are so many people that have not gotten any form of counseling whatsoever.
Mm.
And they're about to get married. How can you take the most important decision of your life and you have no preparation for it? So I always make a special appeal to the singles. You're going to spend so much money on the wedding day. For how many hours? What about the life after the wedding day? So I work with dating, with engaged couples, premarital counseling, I offer that. I also offer postmarital counseling for the couple that is married and they've come into this place where they see that, this marriage thing is not what we thought it would be like. Oh, you know, and boyfriend and girlfriend are not exactly the same thing. And they are now in, and they are now struggling. First of all, they are dealing with loss of, with with expectations that are being shattered. So I help them also to find balance, to anchor, to navigate, and to find their happy spot, because the happy spot exists. And then I also work with the single woman so that you are able to make better life choices. And that is I call on the expertise in executive coaching and in life coaching to do that. And also my certification as an emotional intelligence certified professional. So that helps me to cover the whole spectrum. Either male or female. I'm sure you will agree with me that women are training themselves, but men also need to be trained so that there can be balance. So that for the man out there that is also looking for more, I am your plug. I can be found. I also have a website. My website is taiealuko.coach.
Yeah.
I have courses. I have a course on communication, how to build intimacy through the power of effective communication. I have a course on expectations, you know, setting the right expectations. I have a course on, I can't even remember the third name.
I'll put your website and everything.
Okay,
on the show notes, yes. So they could always click on it to connect.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is all that I do. You can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook. But my happy place is Instagram.
And she's a podcast host. That's how I got to know her.
Yes, that's how we got to know. Two Tom Brass community.
Yes.
Tom Brass community.
Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you. And we know that you've said a lot. This is what's going back to personally for me, because self-discovery is an ongoing thing. It doesn't end. We keep evolving. And she just told us what she does for now, because when she said that's what she does, I said, that's for now, because something can come up tomorrow when God opens your eyes, you know, to see that part of you you've not seen. So thank you so much, Ma. In closing, what would be your takeaway nuggets, you know, to tell us that our eyes should be on the ball of becoming the right woman? What would be your parting words to us as we wrap up for today?
You know, I love what you said, and I'm taking my parting word flowing from what you said. You said something can come up tomorrow and I discover another part of myself. And you know, that is so true. And for me, what that says is the fact that we are always becoming. There's no arrival while we are on this side of the divide. And what does that mean? It means that we can't afford to become complacent. Because if we do, we just find that life is passing us by. So you are always learning, always growing. In some instances, there's even unlearning to be done. So the things that I know in this season, I might need to unlearn them next season. Because guess what? The season is not the same. I talked about the fact that I've been married 24 years. What I knew in the beginning, what I knew in year 10, year 15, I'm now in another season completely. So that, and in my marriage, I had the personal experience where I found that I had become complacent. I thought, I've got this thing on lockdown, until certain things happened and shook me and made me realize that, hello, auntie, this journey is a journey of continuous. So for the woman out there, whether you're married, whether you're single, it's continuous personal growth and development. No stopping, no resting on your oars. We're always becoming, always wanting to get better. It's a sweet journey. That's the thing. At least that's my experience. So it's not a chore. It's actually sweet. It's sweet. It can be painful, but it's also very sweet. And guess what? My children are better. My husband is better. My marriage is better. So ultimately, it's a sweet journey.
Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you. We should never think that we have arrived. You know, we have arrived. And when she said it, I was also smiling at myself. You know, she said the person she married at the beginning is not the same person now after 20 something years. And very soon she will get to the stage where she will be a grandma, and it cannot be the same thing, you know. So we keep changing, we keep evolving, we keep growing to become the right woman. And from what she said, I would take it that we are the right people. Once you start seeing yourself from God's perspective, know that you are the right person. Yes, you have your weaknesses, but have it in your mind that you are the right person, so that self-doubt and imposter syndrome does not kill the value that God has deposited in you. Thank you so much, Ma. We are very, very grateful, and we hope when we call you again that you will willingly come to add value to us. We really enjoyed today's episode. God bless you, Ma.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week on At Home with Ifenu. Check us out on Instagram at Ifenu17. As always, subscribe to the show to catch every new episode and leave us a review so we can continue to bring you fresh content. See you next in 2 weeks' time.